I have one hoodie in my closet.
Nice.
And you can probably guess which one it is. Howdy, welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the program. This is the Star Wars Report episode 160. As we march along the run to celebration, Star Wars Celebration coming up in less than 1 month. Man, I cannot wait. I'm your host for this evening, founder of the Star Wars Report. It's Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. Joining me as always is my good friend and yours. It's Mr. Mark Erleman.
Hey, hey. We're always here. We're always glad to be here, and we're coming to you live, which is always good, and we're moving towards the video broadcast. I love it. I love it. Every episode gets us closer.
Every episode, we tweak the audio just a little bit more, get everything working just a little bit better. But yes, huge welcome to everybody joining us in the live chat. If you want to join us right now, we're broadcasting every week. It's Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you just go to StarWarsReport.com/live, whether we're using Hangouts, maybe, who knows, to get video, or whether we're using Mixlr, I'm always embedding whatever we're using for that evening at StarWarsReport.com/live. And that's kind of the thing. We're working along getting the technology always better, always improved, always working on getting those things ready for you. But boy, howdy, do we have a big show for you guys today. We've got, a new Star Wars composer, all kinds of Star Wars Celebration updates, and a bunch of other Star Wars news. And here to join us to talk all about it is he is of the Full of Sith podcast. It's Mr. Mike Pilot. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's been a long time coming. I confess, yeah. Way back at the start of Rebels, Star Wars Rebels season one, as we broadcast this, the season finale is already, 2 weeks over. And I was like, yeah, man, we've got everybody else on the Star Wars Report from Full of Sith except Mike. We've got, you know, we've had Bobby Roberts on, and we've had, of course, Brian Young on, but we have to make it a trifecta this evening. So we have all too late. Welcomed you back. Well, welcomed you to, rather, the Star Wars Report.
No, that's fine. I mean, Brian and Bobby, in my opinion and estimation, are Star Wars geniuses. I am a fan of Star Wars, and those guys are just next level, and I'm happy to do a show with them. But I would always recommend somebody to have Bobby and Brian on before me.
They are both remarkable gentlemen, and I'll tell you what. We'll just jump straight into it. I almost got ahead of myself. This is right. Riley, you should stick with the show notes. I go to all
they're there for a reason.
What's funny, because I'm usually the worst person to follow show notes closely. I'm just like, well, the show starts and we might hit some of the stuff on it and we might not. And this week I've had a spring break, and so I've had way more time on my hands. So I've been putting all these stories and thoughts and all that good stuff. unfortunately, that means I should actually follow them. So, as another aside, before we jump into the rest of the show proper, I just wanted to briefly apologize in advance, because my voice is going to be a little bit soft, a little bit off today. I'm recovering from strep throat, believe it or not. It's not been fun. So I'm all hyped up on ibuprofen and amoxicillin and whatever other drugs they gave me to combat this treacherous sickness. But I'm going to power through it. I'm about...
You are. Talk Star Wars for all those fans out there.
Well, I mean, it didn't take a lot to convince me.
The warm rum didn't help.
Hey, we don't talk about that, Mark. All right. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit of housekeeping before we jump into our celebration segment. I just set this up last week and totally forgot to plug it on the show before it went live. So I wanted to make sure that the word gets out to the podcast listening audience. Quick note, two things that you want to do. Number one, I've set up a really cool, like 5-6 question Google form survey, all multiple choice, really easy to answer, to help improve the show. So if you are interested, go to StarWarsReport.com/survey. And punch up your answers. So it has all kinds of questions like, what's your preferred length of the show? What kind of topics do you like? Who would you like to have on the show? All kinds of other stuff. It's really a really great way to get some actual hard data on what you guys like about the show. So we've shared that out via social media, but if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you go to starwarsreport.com/survey and fill that out for us. It really helps. And number two, as always, iTunes reviews are appreciated as we continue our regular weekly programming leading up to Celebration. There's going to be a lot of folks hearing about Star Wars and thinking to themselves, oh, we should check out Star Wars podcasts like Full of Sith, like well, maybe Star Wars Report. Let's see. Mike, it's like we have the same brain. You took the words right out of my mouth, sir.
I have one more thing to add, though, to your survey.
Yes.
People should be able to choose what costumes you guys wear during the video shows when you get to that.
There we go. Because like right now, all I have is a Boba Fett hoodie. Did I talk about that on the show, Mark, last week?
No, we didn't. The fact that they let a known assassin from Star Wars in with the president?
That's okay. Awesome.
Time to derail the show for a second. Quick side note. So a week and a half ago as we recorded this, President Obama visited Georgia Tech. The Georgia Institute of Technology, and he spoke on college affordability. And I got word in through RTC, I went there, but unexpectedly, the morning of, this is the super short version of the show, because I don't want to take too much time from the regular programming, but the short version is, we were told, like, early morning or late night, the night before, hey, be sure to dress. You might be selected for preferred seating near to the president, so be sure to dress like college students, because ROTC cadets have a tendency to dress up a lot, and it doesn't really help the image of college affordability if everybody's freaking sitting there in a big suit and tie, right? So
that's brilliant.
So like, well, what's kind of like normal? And I was thinking, I have one hoodie in my closet.
Nice.
And you can probably guess which one it is.
This is good.
This is
how
the big stories begin.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, no, we walk in line, and and so I'm sitting there in my jeans and a hoodie, looking as college as
you can be, right?
College is frack, as they say. I'm just looking college, and I'm in a group that gets shuffled to the side by a White House aide once we get inside the line and through security. So I'm like, we're sitting there, like, everybody's getting seats. I wonder why the guy said it was something special. I'm sure, all right, they're going to put us a little bit close to front. He's like, no, we're going to put you in the road seating, the stadium seating up behind the president in all of the camera shots for the television audience. So if you go to facebook.com/Star Wars Report and scroll back a bit, you're going to see a photo, a Vice News screenshot. That's just going to be a bunch of college students all kind of respectfully looking at the president speak. In fact, like a perfect pose as President Obama raises his right hand to gesture his point. At that point, he was probably talking about cutting out evil corporations from banking, you know, like all political stuff, right? But right there in the back right corner, right at the top, you're going to see a Mark Echo Boba Fett hoodie, and that's yours truly.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
Way to sport, man. Way to sport.
All right. Well, that's enough of
Mark's comment about having a known assassin in the room. That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, I wonder, like, if the aide recognized
him. First thing
that jumped in my mind. Yeah, put the Republicans in the cargo hold. No, all right. So enough of that. Let's jump into some Star Wars Celebration news.
It's an incredible family experience for a lot of people.
This is heaven.
I come all the way from Norway, and this was amazing.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
So awesome.
It's been the most amazing experience of my life.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's here in a mere less than 1 month away. Star Wars Celebration Anaheim invades California as tens of thousands of Star Wars fans everywhere will gather for the event. Man, for Star Wars Celebration. Now, Mike, is this your first one?
This is my first celebration. I am biting the bullet, and I'm actually going to get on a plane and go to a celebration, and I will enjoy it thoroughly, but not the flight. I know you guys have no problem with that, but I don't fly well.
Not a fan of the giant cylinders rocketing through the 30,000 feet through the air. No.
Yeah, it's not so much that, it's the hitting the ground part that bothers me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife's in the same boat, man. She's white knuckle all the way up and down. So I'm not so bad, but she makes me nervous. I'm like, I keep it out of my mind. Woman, stop bringing it up.
You'll be fine.
I don't want to seem cheesy, but here's my biggest issue. So through my 20s and my late 20s and my early 30s, I didn't really have anything to worry about. So, you know, I just didn't want to fly because I've always been a man of larger carriage, and it's been harder to fit in the seat next to other people of a larger carriage. But now, as I got older and we had Anya, now it's like, oh, life is good. Wonderful wife, great kid, Star Wars show. Star Wars is coming. Get on a plane. Hope it lands right. That's my worry.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But it'll be worth it. You'll be flying out of there thinking, man, this trip was exactly worth it, right? As the plane careens off, and you hear the pilots being all like, "This is Red Leader, stand by."
We can't even watch any plane type movies beforehand because my wife gets that nervous. She's like, "Uh-uh." But we live close enough that we could drive. But we did that our first time down to Disney, and I'm like, I will never drive that again. Like, the amount of my vacation, you know, the time off that I had was wasted on the trip back and forth. I'm like, after flying that one time, granted, my daughter was only 1.5 at that point, so it was a little trepidatious taking her on the plane. But when it was all over, I was like, you know, that was only 30 minutes, and now we have the rest of the day to go to Disney. So we bit the bullet and did it again. But I'm right there with you, man. First trip, I am so nervous trying to do the whole press aspect. I don't know if you're doing any of that, but all these new little, you know, the emails that come and RSVP for this. And I'm like, I've got my family there, and then I'm going to be trying to report on things and absorb things for the website and stuff. It's going to be an odd shuffle.
I'm in an interesting position where I can go to the press stuff that I'm really, really interested in. And I know that Brian and Amy, and they're going to be covering a lot of that stuff anyway. So I don't have that pressure on me to be there for all those things.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah. I got Lise Riley to back on. I'm like, hey, you want to go to do the red carpet thing so I don't have to go and do it by myself because I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, and we'll see how all that pans out. There's a lot of stuff kind of up in the air, but yeah, it is. And that's the thing about celebration. You can never do everything. And that's what we're going to talk about here. But as long as the flight attendant doesn't look across and like pick up the intercom and be like, pull out, and then you hear the pilot, no, I can hold it. So we'll be fine. We will be fine. All right. So
stay on target as you're coming in on the landing. That would where I would probably drop my pants.
That ignore him. Stay on the leader. Oh man. So Star Wars Celebration. We've got a lot of great stuff happening. The first thing I wanted to tell you guys about, and we're just going to hit through these in quick succession. We'll probably be doing these at the beginning of the show every week leading up to Star Wars Celebration. But the first thing that I want to let you guys know about is that I'll be at, and that is the Rebel Force Radio meetup, which they're still doing some tickets to the podcast there, and I know a lot of folks are actually going there. So if you are there, come say hi. I just wanted to hit that up. That's a Wednesday night, and I don't have the time and location, but the best way, if you're interested, is just head over to Rebel Force Radio's Facebook page. They've got all the information there. Friend of the show, Jedi Schwa, a.k.a. Josh Stolt, is heading up all of that that party. So that promises to be a good time Wednesday night. I'm actually flying in early Wednesday, Wednesday morning. I think I'm like the plane in Atlanta takes off at like 5:50 a.m. ungodly early, but I figured, hey, if I'm paying all the money to fly out, I might as well fly out as early as I can.
That's me too, man. We'll race to there.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're actually gonna land on Tuesday.
Oh really?
Oh, nice.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
See, it's funny because my schedule, I have one day of classes that I'm going to miss, but if I was going to miss some classes, I was just going to wipe one day clean. So I've Wednesday classes I've wiped clean, and I don't have any Thursday or Friday classes. So we'll just
get in. That works out good for you.
It works out okay.
I'm in a dilemma because we're doing Disney while we're there, and we're doing Disney for, I think, 5 days, and we're doing the other one, and it's crossing over. So I've got to pick 2/3 days of Star Wars convention time here at Celebration that I'm going to be going over to Disney. So I'm like,
yeah, you've got some. That's going
to
be tough.
I don't even know what days to pick.
Hey, just don't panic. Just wait till the actual official programming comes out, and that's the way you can hit it up. Your best day to go back to Disney is probably Friday. Well, it depends.
I think we're pretty lucky.
That's what I was thinking.
I know I'm going on Wednesday. Brian, Amy, there's a whole bunch of people going to Disney on Wednesday, so that should be a good time.
Good.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see everybody there. I'm gonna be like, keep your eyes out for fellow podcasters and Star Wars fans.
Exactly, because Mark, you're gonna be there. I'm flying in early Wednesday with the goal of going to Disney for at least the morning and afternoon. I figure I've never been to Disneyland, so I can't literally be 2 blocks from Disneyland and not go.
Yeah, and especially with the family there, that was one of the prerequisites for going out.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I lucked out. I wanted to go to Celebration 5. You know, everything was going, and then we had I lost my job, so I didn't get to go to that one. Celebration 6 was coming, and my wife was like, well, you didn't get to go to the last one. We'll make sure we'll save up all the money, and then our car broke down. So it's like, each time something happened, and then this time when it was coming, you know, we'd already been doing the Disney trip, so it was going to be our Disney trip. We were going to be down that way, and then it was, oh, wow, at the same time. So my wife went out, and as soon as tax time came, she immediately bought the tickets and all that stuff, back when they first – had the advance tickets for sale, and then we forgot all about it. Then it got closer and closer. It was like, oh yeah, we got to get the money for the hotel room and all this other stuff, because we took care of just the tickets. And we're like, oh, so we managed to, with our taxes of this year, get everything finally taken care of. But yeah, it's that scheduling side that it's like, as the details come up. And I think that for me, as this being my first Celebration, that's the weirdest thing, is to buy tickets so advanced but not get the tickets until so close to the Celebration, and they're still announcing things as you get closer, which that makes sense, but it does feel odd to be going to an event you really have nothing, you don't know what's coming aside from just, well, this is what happened at the other Celebration, so there's good odds that that's happening again.
Yeah.
From doing other cons and other live shows and things like that, there's been a lot of podcasters, Star Wars podcasters in particular, have been asking a lot of questions like, what should we expect? What are we going to do? I'm really nervous. I'm scared of this. What's going to happen? And they're over planning some things. And it's just like, it's going to happen. It's going to go really fast. And no matter how much planning you do, it's not going to be enough. And it's probably not going to go that way. So just go out, have a good time, and what will be will be.
Yeah.
See, in that regard, I'm lucky, because my scouts, it's like that. We plan, and then we show up, and the plan goes out the window because life comes at you fast.
Yeah. No, and that's the kind of thing where, I mean, planning certainly helps if you want to, write down a few things that you want to make happen. But after a certain point, I think you're right, Mike. You just have to surrender the fact that not every single thing that you want to happen is going to happen, That, and it's more fun that way, honestly.
And there'll be another Celebration. So
absolutely. I know one thing that is going to happen that I'm going to be at, and I think Riley, you're going to be at, is that podcaster, the Star Wars listener meetup that you guys are doing, Mike.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And Amy was the brainchild of this, right? I think I was listening to Full of Sith when this idea came up.
Yeah, we were talking about it off the show, and then we brought it up, and Amy has done meetups like this before. She has a lot of experience in doing it, especially at the hotel where it's going to be. So luckily Amy's awesome, and she took the ball running on that, and it's been awesome of her, and the everybody that's contacted us back. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no, it started out with you guys, and it was a brilliant idea. I think I emailed Amy right after listening to the show, like, we want in, this sounds amazing.
Yeah,
and
then I remember you were the first person that emailed back.
Oh, nice. And so I heard about it, and I really like the idea, because, and I remember this happened at Star Wars Weekends last year when we went. There were about 4 or 5 Star Wars podcasts that all kind of just hung out together throughout the weekend at different points and for different parts of the shows.
Well, we had you guys on the show before, and we discussed this, and Coffee with Kenobi, they're another show. And first of all, we share a lot of the same audience. First of all, so that's no brainer right there. Second of all, Star Wars is something we all love, and why does it have to be competitive? And let's just, let's be together and have a good time. It doesn't have to be, well, Star Wars Report has a party from 1 to 3, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, see, me and Riley, we were always talking about that when we were kicking around the idea of the second Airborne, you know, when we named our podcast network. It was like the 501st are the costume group. You got the Rebel Legion theirs. It's like second Airborne, man, that's the podcasters. Everybody's, that's, if you're a listener, if you're one that's a host, you're part of the second Airborne, baby.
That's our kind of little colloquial name. But yeah, no, that's the podcasters meetup. That will be Thursday night at the Hilton Mixer Lounge. And yep. So I'm trying to remember. It's 7 o'clock, right? I believe is the time.
Yeah, I believe it is 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I'm gonna be the weird guy handing out shirts there because I had a bunch of pre-orders for not just, you know, Star Wars Report, but Star Wars Beyond the films. And I was like, well, hey, you know, if you guys are all going there, I'll just hand them out there.
So yeah, look, like, for Mark.
Two birds, one stone.
He's gonna have a hobo stick with about 24 Star Wars Report and Beyond the Films T-shirts tied to it. That'll be Mark Herlman. And you'll see us there as well. It'll be a great time. And then a couple other highlights. I wanted to plug Paul DiPaola has a new post up on the Star Wars Report blog at Star Wars Celebration and Community. He kind of chronicles some of his Star Wars Celebration experiences. And then two last notes on Celebration. It's gonna be basically a Celebration month leading up to Celebration, guys. One is the 501st party. Now, I've got to ask, Mike, are you going to be there?
I will be in attendance.
Oh, man. So and we will be as well. I wanted to show out Stephen Stanton was on the show 2 weeks ago, and he was plugging his special signing that he's doing. Well, there's an official location now. Friday night is the 501st Bash. There are still tickets available. You can go to the 501st Legion's Facebook page as well as Stephen Stanton's Facebook page and see where the tickets to that party are. It is open to the public. As long as you get yourself a ticket, and Steven will be signing special Tarkin autographs from official picks. And he's going to be basically supporting the Starlight Foundation, which we talked about on the show with Steven. So now that that's an official event and it's got an actual time and location, make sure your butt is at the 501st Bash and you're getting some of those autographs, because not only is Steven a really cool guy, but also it supports a great cause.
Wonderful cause. And just to correct the time for the podcast listener meetup, it's 6:30 on Thursday. 6:30, not 7.
Thank you. 6:30. And see, this is why we have Mike on, because he's the professional. We're going
to
have...
Well, no, I just texted Amy. What time is it again? She got back to me. So
nice.
Nothing to do with professionalism, just texting.
Amy's the professional.
Well, actually, Mike, can you be officially the Star Wars Report's proxy professional? So you'll be the mediator between us and the professional.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not to get a hold of me. I'll do anything I can for you guys.
There we go.
You'll be our Ben Kenobi.
And then lastly, I was part of this over at Celebration 6. For those of you who are interested, and I know that's a lot of the audience who are listening to us now, Greg Fields is heading up another Sunday morning celebration of worship, kind of worship service that he's doing under his umbrella, Hero Ministries. And if you're interested in it, just punch yourself up on Google, Facebook, and Twitter. It's Hero Ministries. They're doing a lot of different types of fundraisers. But the information I wanted to convey to you guys is that Sunday morning, of course, that's April 19th at the Hilton Anaheim Huntington Room. This is on the fourth floor at 8 a.m. He's doing a kind of a Star Wars fan celebration of worship service. And a lot of friends of the show are going to be there, including Craig Batts. They've got some special speakers. I'm sure you didn't hear it from me, but you never know. James Earl Taylor might make an appearance. It's a really kind of, if you're of that particular interest or ilk, make sure you're there. I will be there volunteering. I'm part of the team that's helping out there with Hero Ministries on Sunday morning. So it's a great way to kind of, if you may have been up partying late the night before, but it's a good way to get up and hang out with some fellow Star Wars fans and start Sunday off. Well, because we'll get you guys out of the Hilton in plenty of time to get back to the convention center. So again, that's Hero Ministries on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have any other questions, feel free to email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com, and I can let you guys know on any details as I get them. All right, so.
As they become available.
Details forthcoming as they're available. So there we go. That's our celebration segment. They're getting longer and longer the closer we get. So
Cover the Ahsoka Lives Day?
Oh, thank you, Mark. See, this is...
On the spot.
I know.
I was just waiting for the hashtag Ahsoka Lives.
I believe... I saw... The first place I saw it was Jonah Marie posted it on Making Star Wars, but I'm not sure if she was... I think Amy was the first one, or maybe it was a joint effort between them, who organized this kind of fan-made event called hashtag Ahsoka Lives Day at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. And so this is basically for all day Friday. If you want to wear your Ahsoka Tano memorabilia or t-shirts or earrings or bow ties or tennis shoes or I don't know. There you go.
I think that's just kind of fun in general, and I kind of would like to see the celebration do that, where they had themes for the day, you know, like, this day is Han and Luke as Stormtrooper Day, and today is Ben Kenobi Day as Force Ghost, all painted up blue.
I think they're just stuck on the Star Wars theme that whole weekend.
Yeah.
Stuck on Star Wars. Hey, that sounds like my life.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Mark. All right. Well, let's jump straight. I want to talk to you, Mike, for a few minutes before we jump into the news and the main discussion of the podcast. So, for listeners who aren't familiar with Full of Sith, what is it, and where can folks find it?
People can find Full of Sith at fullofsith.com or iTunes or Stitcher or on the Star Wars website. I always like to say that because it makes me feel really good. It feels like we've accomplished something. Don't you feel good about that?
Yes. That I'm so glad that they did that. Yeah, that's awesome.
When we found out about that, I probably was walking on there for at least 3 or 4 months. It just, again, it makes you feel like you're doing something for fandom, and that's what we're all here doing. We're doing something because we love Star Wars, and we're doing something for fandom. And Full of Sith started about, I think we're in our third year now. Brian Young, the writer, he writes for StarWars.com, and he writes for a multitude of other things. Brian was a friend of mine from a past show I did, and he contacted me one November night and said, hey, I want to do a Star Wars show. I want you to do it with me. And I saw the text, and I looked at my wife, and I said, oh, my God, Brian Young wants to do a Star Wars show with me. And she's like, well, are you going to do it? And I'm like, well, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. And then we were thinking of a third co-host, and we wanted the show to be a safe place. We didn't want it to be one of those shows where you guys don't do this. A lot of shows don't do this, but some do, where people have opinions of Star Wars, and they're idiots for having an opinion different than what – the hosts think. And we didn't want it to be that. If we don't agree with you, we're not gonna run you over, you know, a cheese grater for it. But you know, you're allowed, everybody's allowed their own opinion. Everybody has their own Star Wars story. So that's how we started. We figured we'd be a place where people could come tell their stories and interview people that we've been blessed enough to have on the show and hear their first Star Wars experience or their first memory. And from there, the show has just continued to grow, and we have, much like you guys, we have a great like audience and wonderful people that send in their stories and their, whether it's emails or voicemails, or it's just a wonderful thing. And we just get to sit down every Saturday night and talk Star Wars. And how often do you get to do that in the real world without people saying, oh, Star Wars. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange because there is sometimes that sense, at least for a few years there, after Revenge of the Sith, where Star Wars just kind of disappeared out of the mainstream geek culture, and no one really talked about it anymore, and you just really wanted to continue the discussion, and so, but I'm guessing what's your Star Wars story? I'm sure you go way back.
Yeah, back to, so I know I was in the theater for the original Star Wars, the first movie. I was there, but I was a little too young to remember it. I was 2 in 77. So my first Star Wars memory is actually my father taking me to go see Empire. I remember the theater it was at. I remember how I felt when the big reveal was made to Luke. I remember just it blew my young mind. And from that moment on, I was very – everything had to be Star Wars. It had such a profound effect on me that I would – I grew up in a lower income family. I have 4 sisters, so there wasn't a lot of money, and I would, you know, shovel snow or mow lawns or do any kind of side work I could do just to make some money to get my Star Wars toys. And it's, we've talked about it on our show many times. It's, Star Wars is a different thing to so many different people, but there's a lot of religion in Star Wars. There's a lot of good messages in Star Wars. There's a lot of redemption. There's a lot of evil. There's a whole lot of this world in Star Wars. And so I don't want to be one of those people to say that, you know, I've lived my whole life by the Star Wars code, but I've always been a big fan of Star Wars. I fortunately, I'm very happy my 9-year-old is just the biggest fan as me, so now I have a Star Wars buddy for everything that I do, and to watch her grow up with the old Star Wars and the prequels and now Clone Wars. She actually got me into Clone Wars and Rebels, and like that last episode of Rebels, to watch her face when Ahsoka's revealed, and then to see Darth Vader walk off his shuttle and her lose her mind. I mean, that now that's my Star Wars experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My son, when that happened, threw his arms back like he was like Jack on the Titanic. What? Yeah. I was just like, this, I'm loving this. And I was the same way with the Clone Wars. Like, it was third season before I really started watching it, but my son was watching it. And he was like, Dad, you'll love this. And I was just like, you know, I'll wait for a hit DVD. Because that's how I hit the Gendy series. I was like, it was on Cartoon Network. I didn't have it. I was just like, well, I'll just wait for it to come out, you know. And yeah, he totally got me hooked.
Yeah, I mean, she knew better than me because it was like season 4, and I was totally sold. But that's really where Clone Wars picks up for me, though, too. Going back and watching it all over again a few times.
There were a lot of times where Clone Wars would get a lot of momentum, but it was almost never sustained, I really think, until into season 3, beginning of season 4, and that seems to be where it really took off.
Yeah. So we were really sad when it went, but you got to admit, Filoni and crew are doing a great job with Rebels, and it's just bringing conversation we had on Full Sith a few weeks ago, how it's bringing out some things from the older movies that just makes it even more intense or gives you a different feeling or a different approach to what was happening.
One of those ones that jumped out to me when they were talking, it was Filoni had a little featurette, and they were talking about the lightsabers and the flicker and stuff. You know, yeah, it was a technology difference, and that's why the lightsabers in the OT flickered more than what they were in the other one. But they went with the spin on it, you know, of how the technology's kind of degraded, or maybe, you know, they alluded to it being the Force, you know, because the lightsaber was the Jedi's connection to the Force. So I've been just tickled about that, because that was always something that I've always had a kinship for because of the New Jedi Order, when Anakin changed the Lamnic crystal with his lightsaber and allowed him to feel the Vong through a Vong sense and that kind of stuff. But to see what they're doing in the new canon and waiting for, you know, episode 7 to come out, I'm really excited to see what's going on with the lightsaber and if that's a thread that they're going to continue in that direction. You know, with the title The Force Awakens, if it has to do with the Force and the lack of the Jedi as to why the lightsaber's flickering more, that's some potential for a really cool story. Or it could just be that the technology is getting old. Either way, though, it's something that they've taken new and kind of spun with. And I'm like, where are we going from here?
So, Mark, how did you feel when you saw that lightsaber light up in the trailer?
The trident little I was excited. Like, I've seen enough different variants of lightsabers. I like, one of my favorite ones is in a role-playing game with a Jedi weapons master that has a pair of like nunchuck lightsabers, so you know, seeing something like that, it wasn't one that really threw me off. My co-host on Star Wars Beyond the Films, Nathan Butler, he absolutely hated it when it first came out, but then like Steve Colbert had mentioned with, you know, the blades going through the hilt and stuff, I'm like, hey, that makes sense too. There's so many angles with that I'm like, I don't know. When I saw it, I got excited. I know there, you know, as an EU fan, there's a lot of times I see things and I'm like, oh, but in this case, I was like, yeah.
That whole trailer just blew my mind.
Was that like a defiant? Because you guys started the show, Full of Sith was started right about the time, the new movie was announced, or was it before?
It was started right after the announcement, because Brian was getting a lot of people contacting him. Oh, there's going to be new Star Wars. Do you want to be our weekly reporter on it? And Brian's like, well, I can talk for more than just a weekly reporter. I want to do, why not do my own show? And I'm glad he had the thought, and I'm glad glad he asked me to be included on it. Of course, Brian is the Star Wars expert. I'm more, I've been doing podcasting for 9 years, so he's listened to my other shows for a long time, and he respected what I did in podcasting. And then, like I was trying to say earlier, and then it totally slipped my mind, I want to give people credit. We started the show with Consetta, and Consetta, she's a publicist, and she does stuff for Rancho Obi-Wan and James Arnold Taylor and so many other great people. And we've got, that's how our first interview on the show was Steve Sansweet. And that was like, the first episode was actually recorded before our first episode. So episode 2 was actually the first thing we did together. And So for my first experience in Star Wars podcasting was talking to a hero of mine since I was watching him on QVC when I was a little kid. So that was just right there. The start was just mind-blowing, and it's gone that way ever since.
And such a great, nice. Story. I remember that for listening to that first episode when you guys launched and just being I was doing yard work for my neighbor's house when we lived in Tennessee. I actually remember where I was because I remember listening to that.
I like to know where you were. That's awesome, man.
It's funny because it's one of those times where I listened to it, like it wasn't another Star Wars podcast. It was obvious that you guys were putting a lot of passion and effort into it. And I was like, well, I guess I might as well stop the Star Wars Report now. So, and that's obviously exactly what I did. But then I thought to myself, well, I might be able to actually have Mike on the show. So I kept going.
I'll for that.
No, that's really cool. Well, and one more thing I wanted to ask you before we jumped into, I do want to hit one news story for the show. But for you, I'll ask this kind of in two parts and let you pick and choose which one you want to take. Have you had, especially in the time of doing the Full of Sith podcast, has there been like a really defining moment in fandom for you, whether it's an interview or a moment on a podcast? Or was that defining moment kind of when they announced the new film?
Can I answer both?
Go for it. Okay. Two for two.
When I heard they were making a new movie, I suddenly became the most popular person at work because everybody knew I knew Star Wars and I love Star Wars, and everybody had something to finally talk to me about, hey, a new Star Wars. And it was just great that whole day talking about Star Wars. And to not know anything of what's going to happen, we don't know a director, we don't know who's going to be in it, we have no idea. We're still at this point, we don't know that much. We didn't see it yet, and I can't wait to. So that was – it wasn't a rekindling of Star Wars for me, but it definitely – put passion back into I have something to say and I want to take this ride until this movie starts, and to go back to what we have done thus far is going to be really cool to see what we talked about that was right or wasn't right. So I'm looking forward to that. As far as defining moments, I'm a big Sam Witwer fanboy, to be honest with you.
Man.
I mean,
yeah.
Awesome in Force Unleashed, and he's awesome as Darth Maul, and the guy. I watch shows with my wife that she watches stuff that I want to watch, so I watch what she wants to watch. And one of the shows that he was on, the Being Human show, that's what it was. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And even watching him on that, he's a cool dude. And to have him on the show and hear his passion for Star Wars, and him just being like the three of us sitting here talking right now. It would be no different if he was here too. He'd just be another guy talking passionate about Star Wars. So that was one of the cool moments. James Arnold Taylor was another one.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan of his for so long, and he's such a nice guy. But that first live episode we did at Rancho with Steve, Consett and Brian, myself, we flew out for the weekend to see the final Clone Wars at Lucasfilm. That was probably, besides being married to my wife and having my daughter, that was the crowning achievement to my life that weekend. Because nice. To be in those hallowed halls and to be in that theater to watch that, and Ashley's there and Dave Filoni's there, and you're looking around this room of all these people that have put their hearts and souls into Star Wars to entertain me, it was really cool. And then to go through Rancho and to have Steve show us all these things and then just sit down, just the four of us, and talk Star Wars. Looking back at it, I guess it's 2 years ago now, and it doesn't seem like 2 years ago. It seems like a last weekend, but it also seems so far away too. So I'm really anxious for a celebration to see Steve and them too. So that was just outstanding. And of course, you know, I don't want to sell short the crossover shows we've done with you guys, Coffee with Kenobi, a couple other shows. Because again, you get a whole bunch of passionate people about Star Wars and like-minded and different theories. It's just I'm talking ears off. I apologize for that, but
no.
Star Wars, man,
no, love, we love
Star
it.
Wars.
I often feel the same way because I get invited onto other shows, and I'm like, once I start talking, I'm like, oh, they can't shut me up. I'm like, oh, I'm just taking over the show. But
that's exactly why we have you on, Mike. That's such a great. I couldn't think of a better way to cap off this kind of interview segment, because it's. You know what, and I think if I were to put words in your mouth for a second, I would define it as like a pivot point, right? When the new movies were announced, it was not really for us. We're the idiots sitting here doing Star Wars podcasts every week. It's not really going to change our fandom as people, but it is a pivot point. It's a whole new energy, whole new focus for sure.
Yeah, and it's going to bring the new generation in. It's going to make a lot of people happy. And, of course, there's going to be people that are going to – haters are going to hate. I hate to use that expression, but like we do on our show, we try not to pay attention to that garbage. And
yeah.
One of the main things we said throughout the run of our show, hey, we're having more Star Wars. So whatever happens, there's still going to be more Star Wars.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well said, well said. And without further ado, let's jump into our new segment.
We have something to report.
Jump closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
We have a composer for the next Star Wars film.
Yeah, this is pretty big news.
I'll tell you what, man. I've shuffled any news stories but this, because this is what I want to focus on. This is the big news of the week. I am a huge, huge fan of the scores of the Star Wars films. In fact, I don't think there's anything in Star Wars that has influenced me as a person that I've gone back to over and over again as much as the Star Wars scores. And so when we have news of the composer of the spinoff film, I've got to find out. This is as if, for some people, I couldn't care who's composing the next Star Wars film is more important than who's directing it, or really even than who's starring in it for me. So I cannot wait to hear what this gentleman has to do in Star Wars Rogue One. This is Rogue One. Repeat. I found them. Wait. That's poor Rogue One.
Some of his history of work thus far, it gives you a lot of promise that it's going to be great.
Well, and enough teasing. It's Alexandre Desplat. I'm going to hope I pronounced it right.
I think you did. I'm glad you said it, because I would have butchered it like crazy. But yeah, I mean, he's done Deathly Hallows, the Harry Potter movies, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure. I think I read this on either your show notes or I knew this in my head. But King's Speech, didn't he do King's Speech too?
He did. In fact, he did. That's where I first heard his music, because I only recently watched the Harry Potter films last year. Actually, did like a multi-week marathon of them all. But
forgive him, he's a late bloomer.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, at least he got on board.
I know. I mean, super secret. Like, I didn't even finish. I finished Temple of Doom and Raiders last year.
See, wow. Now, listeners, don't be disturbed, because I grew up with no power until I was 9. You know, you can get caught up in a short period of time. You just got to throw yourself into it.
Yeah, which indeed is exactly what I'm doing. Alexandre Desplat, yeah, he won an Oscar this year, Best Score for The Grand Budapest Hotel. I've not seen the film, but the guy's got chops. And not only that, the interesting thing is not just what he's done, but he is a really, really proficient, what's the word I'm looking for? Really, I guess, working composer. He's doing a ton of projects right now. He did Argo, which was a very good score. Brian, this is for Brian Young. He did Monuments Men. He did Zero Dark 30, Rise of the Guardians, just to name a few. And like, he has no less than 20 or 30 credits just in the last 4 or 5 years. Really,
he's
really
hard. He's a man. He certainly is. And I don't want to get off him real quick, but I want to touch up on something you said a little bit earlier about the Star Wars music, what it means to you. And it's more important sometimes than the director than who's in it. Just take John Williams, for instance. My wife wanted to watch – this is a true story, happened tonight. My wife wanted to watch Fiddler on the Roof, mm-hmm. and my daughter has no interest in watching a movie from 1971. I pull it up on the IMDb. I say, Anya, you know John Williams did the music for this, and all of a sudden she wants to watch Fiddler on the Roof, and now that's what they're doing. So
nice.
Star Wars music is profound to get anybody to watch anything, in my opinion.
No, absolutely.
You know, music makes a movie. I mean, there are so many movies that when you're watching it like with the sound off, you're like, oh, what the heck is going on? And then you watch the same movie with the sound on, and you're just like on the verge of tears because the strings and the horns just have you. You're like, oh, man. And then that's another one, the horns, you know, like Starship Troopers, you know, when the dun, 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 dun. I mean, just, I don't know, man. You get a good orchestra going, and your whole body responds to the music.
Yeah,
music. It's your body to respond. Would you like to know more?
But I don't want to just. I don't want to just touch on Alexandre's past work. But I want to actually delve into his style for a moment. He is a very he's kind of the other side of the coin from Williams in a lot of ways, because he's Williams is very thematic, very bombastic. He brings his scores to the forefront of the story, like they're as David Collins has said on the Fantastic Star Wars Oxygen podcast, it's basically its own character in the film. Whereas Desplat, he's very almost muted sometimes in his particular scoring style. And I prepared a few notes for it, but unfortunately I have to stare at Javier Bardem and his film with What's His Face because of YouTube pre-roll ads. But I do actually want to feature you guys a few selections of what he's done. And the first one is, yes, from Twilight. No, don't stop listening to the podcast. Hang on. I want to give you a few examples that I found of his that I thought really kind of make statements of his style as a composer. So here's
just pretend it's Quinlan Voss's Twilight.
Here's just a few seconds of The Meadow from New Moon. He's very heavy on the piano, but he's still thematic. So he's very, very soft. And let's jump into the middle of the song for just a moment here. So you can hear he's got that very kind of soft style, and it's not Williams-esque at all. Now, granted, he has tons of credits, but I present to you evidence, too. This is from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Probably when I heard he was the guy doing it, besides thinking of the King's Speech, this is what I thought of next, and it's Lily's theme from Harry Potter Part 2. And it's a very modern sounding piece, and it's very vocal. If you listen here, you're going to hear a very kind of almost Lord of the Rings-esque style. Let's take a listen for a second. Got that very soft, kind of long vocal sound to him.
Second one totally sounds like something I would see in Star Wars. But maybe I'm alone here, but I don't, when I hear piano though, think Star Wars at all. But the other one, totally.
I don't know if you'll hear a lot of piano, but he does get a lot of emotion out of his music, even though it isn't in your face. There isn't a lot of crescendo in it. But I think for a movie that's, you know, a standalone from Star Wars, I think that this is a really good choice as a composer, because they're going away from that. So having a new kind of feel with the composer, like you listen to Kevin Kiner do things for Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff. He does a very good job of doing Williams and himself at the same time. But yeah. I think you're going to get a different feel with this, and I think it's going to really make a difference in the movie.
Yeah, well, and Scott Rifen in the chat just pointed out there he does, the one place Williams does heavily use piano is in the Battle of Hoth, but not kind of in the lilting way that that Desplat uses it, and of course that's evidence again in the King's Speech soundtrack as well. But to further go off your point, Mike, I think that's a good thing. I think what we're seeing here is A, he has a history of working with Gareth Edwards, so it makes sense that he would work with him again on Rogue One. But B, I think they are going for a distinct style musically for this film, which makes sense because it's not a enumerated, you know, Star Wars film. It is a spinoff film. So
I also wanted to say this, Riley. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I don't think because he's done music for Twilight that he's when people saw that JJ was going to be directing Star Wars, it was a bunch of lens flare jokes on Twitter for 3 weeks. And I think because this guy did music for Twilight, that shouldn't be what people are going after.
Yeah.
One of the things about Twilight, like I said earlier when we were talking, my wife watches things I want to watch, and I'm a good enough husband to sit there and watch whatever garbage she wants to watch. That being said, I've seen all the Twilights several times, and one of the amazing things of that movie is his soundtracks. It does get to you. I will say that. And if anybody, does that make me a lesser man? Maybe. Who cares? It's the truth.
It It doesn't. No, I'm in the same boat, man. Me and my wife, we do the same thing. I watch Grey's Anatomy and Heart of Dixie, so she watches The Walking Dead with me. In fact, the two books she's read, I had to read some of her romance books, which made me realize that romance novels are actually woman porn. I was blushing a few times, but I got her to read Sacrifice and Invincible, and then she had nightmares for 3 weeks after that, and we'll never touch another Star Wars book, so I blew it in the end. But yeah, that sacrifice does not make you a lesser man, sir.
No. Well, thank you.
Top
very much.
Honors.
Well, and Mark, so I guess there's equal suffering in the Hurleman household. Man, unfortunately, that's going to put a wraps on this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. You are listening to the Star Wars Report podcast. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Mark, I did it. I did it. My voice survived.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. Oh, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. It was a blast.
No, thanks for having me. It was well worth the wait, and that's not any kind of, stab in the back or...
No. It was
passive aggressive anything. No, I really thank you for having me on. I do have one thing to say to you guys. We were talking about it before we actually started the show. You're always working on your audio quality. You're always working on making the show better. It sounds great to begin with. I respect that, and the fans respect a quality show that you guys put out every week. So keep doing what you guys are doing.
Oh, man. You're too kind, sir. Thank you so much. And, man, I'll tell you what. When Full of Sith started rolling out, you guys do an amazing show, and some of my favorite interviews with a lot of the personalities in the Star Wars community come from y'all's show. So everyone should definitely be checking out Full of Sith as well, for sure. Mike, thanks again for coming on. Yep, like I said,
looking forward to meeting you at Celebration,
that's right,
too, by the way.
Just a
good time. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, too. And tell Bethany, give her my best, too.
Will do. Absolutely. Absolutely. 3 weeks and a few days away, Star Wars Celebration. It's going to be a blast. A couple quick notes before we jump out for this episode. And before my voice dies, I've got a family appointment in 5 minutes to watch Iron Man 3, and I don't want to raise the ire of the family. So we're gonna watch some Iron Man. We're kind of going through a Marvel phase of catching up before the big event in May, of course, which we can't wait for Age of Ultron. But that's not Star Wars. Let's talk about Star Wars for just another moment or two. A couple little details for you guys before we wrap up. Make sure that you're subscribed to the show on iTunes. If you want to leave us a rating or review, it really helps. Just make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and that's where you can leave us your rating and review and get the word out about the show. We always do appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter. Mike is at the Mike, T-H-A-M-I-K-E. Mark is at Illogical Rogue 2, and I am at the Riley Guy. You can email us at StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us up on social media. It's twitter.com/StarWarsReport and facebook.com/StarWarsReport. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Stay tuned next week. We've got, speaking of him, Steve Sansweet scheduled to come on the show next week. So he'll be talking
awesome.
About Rancho Obi-Wan and more celebration talk and all that. So we'll hopefully get all those last details worked out. Again, make sure you're joining us live every week. If you're listening to the podcast, you're missing out. Join us in the chat every week, 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. See, there you go, Scott. Scott in the chat corrected me while. It's Eastern Daylight Time now that we've changed over. Eastern Daylight Time on Friday evenings. That's when you want to join us. It's StarWarsReport.com/live. Until next time, remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Good show, guys. That was a good conversation.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. That was such a blast. Such a blast. Thanks again, Mike. That was really
fun. Like I said, I really have been looking forward to it. I was...